Blog Talk Radio.
Today, not a very long broadcast. It's open for those who want to just talk a little bit this morning. We're going to have a little time left over. This word is awesome. We are going to be in Revelations coming up on tomorrow, and I'm just overwhelmed because God is getting us to a point where we need to know his word. And it is so important that we do. What a word today. And our word this morning is coming out of 3 John chapter 1, because there's only one. And it's just simple. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. That's it. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, and he who does evil has not seen God. We don't want to do evil. We don't want to speak evil. We don't want to be a participant of what is not of God. And so when we go to the book of 3 John, it says this: the Apostle John, according to church tradition, is the author of this book. It was written again in approximately AD 92. Church leaders must be humble and not proud. That's what we should learn in our 10 words or less from this book. Church leaders must be humble and not proud. And then he addressed Gaius, and he said, praise those like Gaius and another Christian named Demetrius, who led in charity before the church. The third John also has harsh words for Christians like Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence and refuse to show kindness and hospitality to traveling evangelists. Hospitality was a big deal, and it should be a big deal now. We got to learn how to be kind to each other. And it's a quotable, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We know that is Jesus. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Our title for this morning. Unique and unusual about 3 John, one of four straight chapter books in the New Testament, is the second shortest by verse count, 14. 14 verses. And the one prior to John, 2 John chapter 1. Was 13 verses. And then it goes on to say the third John, one of four single chapter books. Four. And it goes on to tell, so what is hospitality? Hospitality isn't just for the Martha Stewarts of the world. Christians are expected to feed, house, and encourage other believers, especially those who minister full-time for God. Humble service to others follows the example of Jesus himself. John 13 and 14. What a word this morning. Whew, I'm excited. We'll get to the Jude overview when we get to Jude, but let's pray. Father God in heaven, I am so thrilled to be your servant, God, to wake up with joy in my heart, to have gotten good night's rest, Lord God, for you to have wakened me this morning, for you to have given me a word for today, for you, Lord God, to have pushed me up and out of bed, God, to say it's time to get up, it's time to go to work. God, I thank you this morning. I thank you for a great day on yesterday, spending time with my granddaughter, Lord God. Daughters, spending time, God, with the women of God and the men of God. Learning to dance for you, God. Learning to just talk and to grow, Lord God. The ministry of Christ, God. I thank you for all those that work in children's ministry, God, who are crazy about, as one says, her baby. Lord God, we want to do best and better for our children, God. And so I'm lifting up children today. On this second Sunday of the month, I lift up our children as many are getting ready for Christmas, Lord God. Help us to pour into them that Christmas is about Christ. That it's not about some jolly old elf in a red suit, but about Christ. And that it is about Jesus, as Kirk Franklin states in his song, Jesus is the reason for the season. And as he says, Santa Claus ain't got nothing on this. Jesus is who we celebrate. We celebrate his birth. Yes, we know that it is not this day on December 25th that Christ was born. But we look at it as a day to just celebrate Jesus. So, Father God, we ask you to give us guidance and leadership and show us which way to go, that we will not depart from your word, that it will permeate in our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. And as it percolates, Lord, let it just come out to be a word for someone who just needs to know they are not alone and that you have not forgotten them. You have not forsaken them. You will be with them always. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God. And as I pray this prayer, Lord God, I ask you to increase as always, Lord, as your servant, your humble servant, decreases, Father God. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength. And Lord Jesus, you are my redeemer. And I cannot do this without you both. Without the Father, without the Son, without the Holy Spirit ignited in me as you speak with me today. In your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Thanking God this morning for this great word. Thanking all of you for joining me as we move forward in God's word. And I still am overwhelmed when I look at the fact that we have approximately 100 pages left of this Bible before we're finished. 100 pages left of the entire Bible. Catch that. The entire Bible. We have approximately 100 pages left until we have read it all. God is awesome. And he is so great. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for the time that you give us to read your word and to hear it and to work it and do it. So let's get into it. I hope everyone has their Bibles right now. We are coming out of 3 John chapter 1, which is all it has. We're going to be coming out of Jude chapter 1. Again, all that it has. And, whew, drum roll, please. We will be starting in Revelation chapter 1. Verses 1 through 20. Book of the Bible. We start on today. And all I can say is, wow. Wow. So let's get started. And it says, the elder, to the brother, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and hear this all the time in prosperity ministries, but we understand what John is saying. He wants him to prosper in the ministry, to do what he is called to do and to do it in a wonderful and great way. It's not always about money. And that's what we got to get out of. Prosperity is not always about money. And it says this, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Be in good health. Give me health. Because all the wealth in the world means nothing if you're sick, if you're dead, if you're dying. All that wealth means absolutely nothing. But I love how you say, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Prosper in your ministry. Prosper in your positions in this world. Prosper in your family's love for each other. Prosper in hope in the future. Prosper in all the things of God. And that your soul prospers. Because our soul, we want to get to the holy gate. And we want to make it in. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne the witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Before they went forth in his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore also receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. That's one of those prosperity ministries, one of the megachurches. You know, I'm all that and some chips and a soda and a Coke, and I'm all that. I guess my Kentucky came out when I said a soda instead of a pop. But it all came out. He thinks he's all that because he's probably got the biggest church. He's got all the folks coming in. He dresses to the nines and talks about nothing but himself. And he said, Paul told us this. I'm sorry, John said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, praying against us with malicious words, and not content that he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to put them out of the church. Put folks out. If they disagree with him, out you go. If they don't have nothing, if he don't, too good, as he said, I'm the best thing that ever happened, and if you don't want to agree with me, out you go. Even if I am teaching false doctrine, even if I am teaching something that's not the word of God, out you go. because it's not about you, it's all about me. It's not about Jesus, it's about me. That's the attitude. And John is talking about him. And then but he tells us, beloved, do not imitate what is for what is good. Don't imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness that you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends. Greet you. Greet the friends by name. John's like, hey, I'm going to tell it like it is, and I'm calling names. I'm calling names. I'm telling the truth. And if you don't like hearing it, I'm sorry. But the truth is the truth, and a lie is a lie. Evil is evil and good is good. And I'm just going to tell you now, diet, whom I love in truth. Come on now. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, he's like, I, as an apostle, he set up these ministries just like John, just like Paul, just like Peter. You know, John is complimenting the ministers that have worked under him, that he has planted churches, and he's complimenting the ministers that are sticking with everything they were taught. And he also talked about the ones that got so self-important, they forgot why they were there. Putting folks out of the church because they didn't like the fact that he was teaching a false teaching. And it was all about him and not about the Savior. So let's go to Jude. And we know that Jude is a brother of Christ. But he doesn't say Jude, a brother of Jesus Christ. He says a brother of James and a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself to say, I'm a bondservant to my brother. I'm a bondservant to this man of God who I know in my heart is the Christ. You know, this is a big deal for James and Jude. James was all that. I love the book of James. And Jude is one chapter. It's one letter. He gets it all out, and he gets it out so quick that you can only say, wow. You can tell you came from that holy womb, baby. Because he don't play either. Just like his brother James, Jude don't play. One chapter. But he gets a whole lot out in this one chapter. So let's get to it. And it says this, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. But certain men have crept in unnoticed. He's talking to false teachers here. And I'll go back and read what Jude is about. And it tells it, false teachers. Slide in, even into the ministry. And he tells us this, but certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange fruits are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life, of eternal fire. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, going to hell. Sexual immorality and going after strange fruit are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That right there would get my attention. And it says, likewise, also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a revealing accusation. A revealing accusation. But says, the Lord rebukes you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. And I want to go back to this, the body of Moses. The reason why God did not allow anyone to know where Moses' body was, because what would have happened is we had idolatry already. God said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not bow down to them. Thou shalt not make any graven images or bow down to them. You know, I know, if they had known where the body of Moses was, it would have become a shrine. It would have become a pilgrimage. It would have become where everybody wanted to go to pray over the grave of Moses and make Moses into a god. And God's like, nope. Devil, you're not getting this body to make it sacrilege. You're not getting this body to mess up my people. Because we know people, fortunately, folks get caught up, you know, going and making graves into shrines and bowing down to them. And that's not a god. It's not. We got to remember that. And that's why there was a fight. Because the devil wanted to create more havoc than he already was. And he goes on to tell us in the words, in these things they corrupt themselves, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the era of Balaam, the prophet, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Prophelias, all of them, murdering prophelias. And he goes and says, these are spots in your love feast while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Last autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch about these men also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. Come on now. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on, some have compassion, making a distinction, but others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. And this is a word, now a prayer. But we know in King James, I believe it says, keep us from falling. It is now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, is what it says in New King James. But I believe it in King James, it says from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And when we go over to Jude, in what the Bible says is Jude, probably Jesus' half-brother, Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3, where they are mentioned here, James by name. Approximately 82 is when this was written. And it says, beware of heretical teachers and their dangerous doctrine. Heretics. The Gnostics out there, all them folks talking a bunch of trash and not telling the truth. Jude tackles the same problem Peter did in his second letter. False teachers who were leading the early church astray. We have them today, leading the church astray. False teachers, murmurers, and complainers who were walking after their own lust, were apparently using the grace of God as a cover for their sinful lifestyle and encouraging Christian believers to do the same. True believers, Jude says, reflect God's love, show compassion, and work to pull sinners out of the fire. That's our job. That's our assignment. It's time to go to work. And the quotable, you shall honestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Ye shall honestly contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints. Jude 1:3. Unique and unusual about Jude. Jude provides details of two Old Testament events not recorded in the Old Testament. The Archangel Michael's fight with Satan over the body of Moses and Enoch's prophecy of God's judgment. And understand there are things that were written in the scrolls that were not translated into the Bibles we read, but we get snippets of it as we go through the Bible, because a particular book will say something that came, that should have been in the Old Testament, that was not there. Because maybe the church didn't get it. They didn't want it in there. But we know God always shows you everything you need to know. And it says in the Word of God that nobody to this day knows where the body of Moses is. Why? Because Michael fought for it. And because God hid it. And it was for a purpose and a reason. And it goes to a so what? Satan tries to sneak secret agents into God's church to confuse and ultimately crush true believers. Y'all caught it, dude. Let me say it one more time. Satan tries to sneak secret agents into God's church to confuse and ultimately crush true believers. It's the job of every true Christian to earnestly contend for the faith as passed down by Jesus' disciples and recorded in the Bible. We got to be careful as Christians, because those of us that love, we just love God and love doing for others. It's so easy for the spirit of users. Those folks that you give money when I'm in need, they become gold diggers. They become those that look for those that love God and they want to use them. Use them for their own, you know. And then they the first ones that want to say, well, you owe me this and you owe me that. We don't owe anybody anything but to love them as we love God. Do for others as you would have them do for you. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Make God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. We all go through, but we can do nothing more than thank God and ask God, lead me, God, guide me, God, show me the way, God, that I may go the way you want me to go. In Jesus' name. And if you go back into our life lessons from 3 John as well as Jesus says this in 3 John chapter, verse number 2, I pray that you may prosper. It is. In all things, but in health, just as your soul prospers. Prayers for our physical well-being are just as legitimate as prayers for our spiritual health. God wants us to prosper in all ways that will draw our hearts closer to him and to our fellow believers in Christ. 3 John chapter verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. To walk in truth means to believe the word of God and to gladly obey its instructions by drawing on the power of the Spirit. This kind of life brings joy, great joy, both to us and to our spiritual forebears. We want that incredible joy that can only come from God. I know I do. I want that joy. I want that peace that can only come from God. And as we go back into Jude, and it says it's contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And it tells us the gospel of Jesus Christ does not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it says since he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, so is his word, Hebrews 13:8. So his gospel remains eternally the same, and it is worth fighting for, since through it alone we find eternal life. As the return of Jesus draws near, we will see an increase in those who mock genuine faith in Jesus. We're seeing it every day. We're starting to see it pop up and rear its ugly head as the spirit of Antichrist starts to try to take over this world. We have people that he's a good prophet. He was a rabbi. You know, he was a good minister. He was all that, but he wasn't the Son of God. You never believe that. The Son of God's still coming. And what's gonna happen is you're gonna fall for the spirit of the Antichrist that's coming to you. It's coming to take us and knock us off our square straight to the pit of hell. And we as men and women of God have got to be diligent. We've got to watch as well as pray. Because the wiles of the enemy, oh, he is a sneaky snake. He will have you so twisted up that you as Christians now listen to false teachers every day. Because they're the ones that's on television. They're the ones that's on the radio. They're the ones that is all over the place. But we better go back to the source, which is the word of God. And one more time, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not change. Since he is the same today and forevermore, Hebrews 13:8. So his gospel remains eternally the same, and it is worth fighting for, since through it alone we find eternal life. As the return of Jesus draws nearer, we will see an increase in those who mock genuine faith in Jesus. They will make vicious fun of believers and hold them up to ridicule, just as Jesus' enemies mocked him. So don't get yourself upset if somebody talks about your faith. Wear it as a badge of honor, because they see the Jesus in you. Jude 5, and it says, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. Here we see both the goodness and severity of God, side by side. The Lord showed his goodness in rescuing the Israelites from Egypt, slavery, but his severity in punishing their stubborn, disobedient, and rebellion. 40 days in a wilderness, standing at the gate of paradise, milk, a land flowing with milk and honey. But instead of walking in, you wind up back in the desert, walking in circles for 40 years because you're rebellious and didn't want to listen. We better understand, God does not play. Don't play with God. One foot in, one foot out. One foot in, one foot out. God sees everything. What do you say? Lukewarm, you're going to get spit out. You better understand, God is not playing with us. Jude 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. For God asks us to cooperate with him in the process of sanctification. It is he who conforms us to the image of Jesus by his power and infinite wisdom. That is why we can joyfully anticipate our total transformation. Praise be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. Hallelujah. I said again, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. In our revelation, we are starting now. Praise the Lord, saints. This book is so important because it is our future. It tells us what we got to do to get in preparation. And this book, it says, is written by the Apostle John, possibly AD 95, because now he's on Parliament, basically in prison. And it says, God will judge evil and reward his saints. 10 words or less. God will judge evil and reward his saints. And some detail, a revelation. Jesus Christ himself arranges for John to receive a revelation of things which must shortly come to pass. First, in chapters 2 to 3, Jesus gives John words of challenge and or encouragement for 7 churches, the good, the bad, the in-between. Then the vision turns to the actual throne room of God, where a lamb looking as it had been slain breaks 7 seals from a scroll, unleashing war, famine, and other disasters on the earth. A dragon and 2 beasts allied against God arise to demand the worship of earth's people who have not been killed in the earlier catastrophes. The satanic forces and the people who follow them incurred 7 vials of wrath of God. Chapter 16. Which bring plagues, darkness, and huge hailstorms on earth. The upheaval destroys Babylon the Great, the evil and arrogant world system. Just before an angel from heaven seizes Satan, that old serpent, and imprisons him for 1,000 years. After a brief release to instigate a worldwide war, Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. God unveils a new heaven and a new earth, where he will wipe away all tears from his people's eyes. And the last thing, blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because this is a book of prophecy that can come true in our time. It may be in our time. It may be in the time of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Prophecy is our time. I believe it. And I believe we as Christians better get ready. Because already you think this is a volcano erupted. No, I. A volcano erupted in Indonesia. They are having what they call thunder snowstorms, where there is thunder and lightning and snow. Not rain, but snow. With it and snow early. Our weather where we are, if you live in my area, up and down, 30, 20, and then all of a sudden it's 50 and 60. The water is rising, and some places may be underwater in the next 50 years. Some islands may disappear. We better understand everything that is in this book. If God says it's going to come to pass, you better believe it. Wars already out there. Folks fighting over nothing. Ukraine and Russia fighting because Russia thought, I'm the big bully here and I'm going to take over. We got a reality check. That sometimes that little scrappy dog can knock you down with some help from the screen. We got to understand we are in some perilous times. Financial crisis. People not able to pay their bills. Folks without food. As the song says, living in the streets. And some habits they just can't be. Muggers and robbers, no place seems to be safe. But then we say, but you've been my protection every step of the way. And it's the Hawkins thing is saying, and I want to say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. We better understand God has blessed his children, whether we know it or not. And until you've been there, living in the streets, being homeless, you don't know how to appreciate what you got. And so I ask God to forgive me for being unappreciative on occasion. I want to be better, live better, do better, because God is great and greatly to be praised. But let's get back into the word Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things, which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Now, understand it. Jesus is not coming from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. It tells us how he's coming. And if you follow some fake Christ who just kind of appears, but he looks like what you perceive Jesus to look like. He has the long locks and the kind of tan skin. He is very, very handsome. And he's walking with his white robe. He is not Jesus. Don't fall for it. This is how Jesus is coming. He is telling you in the word of God. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Everybody, all eyes, will see him come at the same time. And he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine glass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. What do you say? And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. And as we go back to some life lessons and what the Bible says, life lessons, grace to you and peace. Grace was a typical Greek greeting of the first century, which peace served as the typical Hebrew greeting. The author thus lets his readers know that this book is for everyone, Jew and Gentile, alike. Grace to you and peace is what he says. And when we go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And it says the firstborn from the dead. Several individuals in the Bible before Jesus had been raised from the dead, but all of them, the Shunammite son, remember, the Shunammite woman, all is well. Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, died a second time. Jesus conquered death, never to die again. Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. The majestic, glorious appearance of the unveiled Christ so overwhelmed John that he fainted. We must never forget that our Savior and friend is also our Lord, Master, King, and Sovereign. Hallelujah. Whew. And as we go to what the Bible says, the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity, Revelation 1. Look closely at Genesis 1, and you'll notice the Bible refers to God and the Spirit of God without making the slightest distinction between the two. It uses the two terms interchangeably. Flip to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, and you see the same is true. In fact, you can see evidence of this fact throughout God's Word. Have you ever wondered why it's because they are all one? The doctrine of the Trinity is found throughout Scripture. A little later in the creation story, we find another reference to the Trinity. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Genesis 1:26. Now to whom was God speaking? Fortunately, in the very next verse, God clarifies who he meant. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis 1:27. God did not create Adam and Eve in the image of animals or angels. He created them in the image of himself, in the likeness of God. Therefore, the us in Genesis 1:26 must refer to God alone. That is, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Then in Revelation 1:4, we read, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Commentator John Deal writes, some understand this to be of the whole Trinity, the Father by him, which is being, that I am the Son by him, which was with God the Father, and was God, and the Spirit by him, which is to come, who was promised to come from the Father and the Son as a comforter, and the Spirit of truth. Of course, these are only a couple of brief references, and there are many throughout Scripture. Yet within the eternal fellowship of the Trinity, the members of the Godhead have always enjoyed a deep and rich and unbroken relationship of love with one another. When God created us, he wanted us to share in some measure of that fellowship. That's why he created us in his image and why he redeemed us to his own in heaven. By creating us to reflect his own nature, he made it possible for us to develop a deep and intimate relationship with himself. In this truth, we come to the heart of who God made us to be. Our intimacy with God, his highest priority for our lives, determines the impact of our lives. So the closer we grow to him, the more positive and lasting impact we can have on this world and for the eternity to come. And all I can say is, wow, what a word this morning. What a awesome and mighty word this morning. And I have a couple of words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And all I can say is God is so good. And his word, it sticks. It is everything that's in us. We got to keep trusting God and know that we are special and that he loves us. And I don't have a word for today yet from our sister in Christ, but the word for yesterday will cover. Good morning. Be kind to others even if they are not kind to you. keep spreading love even if you don't get it back. Be alpha even if you have no one to help you. Do not change yourself according to others. Just remember one thing. It is not between you and others. It's always between you and God. And that came from morninggreetings.com. We got to understand God is in charge. And when we act the right way, we're acting in a godly way. What did our word say for this morning? Coming out of John. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. We must keep that in our arsenal. You know what's good and you know what's bad. Keep trusting God. And as we go into our take me deeper, and this is our word for this morning, not slow. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, NASB. Faithful one, you hold all my days in your loving hand. Your patience keeps you pursuing the hearts of your people, even when others would have given up. I know that I can lay down my cares before you, trusting in your love to carry out all that you promised. You are not slow in fulfilling your words. You have not forgotten about it or changed your mind. Your compassionate care for your people outweighs the preferred timeline of mortal minds. When I start to feel discouragement, set in that I have not seen you come through in areas that I've been longing for breakthrough. Direct my heart to yours. Give me perseverance to trust that in the depth of waiting, there is life ready to spring up in the ripe time. I won't pretend to understand or not be bothered by waiting that tests the limits of my hope, but I will choose to trust you. You never fail. In you, I find the fulfillment of every longing. Take courage, heart of mind in God, who gives strength to every seeking soul. Have you become discouraged in waiting on God's promise? We can't get discouraged. And this is our last word. We may go a little bit over for those that must be. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family. But this word, I just want to take us there. And it says, take me deeper. Let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God, Hebrews 6 and 1 NLT. Lord my God, you are never changing and yet always full of new mysteries to discover. I want to know you more, growing deep in the awareness of who you are, not simply who I've known you to be. Great God of mercy, as I learn, may I grow up in you, becoming mature in my understanding. I don't want to live in a paradigm of comfort, not willing to go through the growing pains of development. May my growth not be stunted by my apathetic tendency. Fill me with hunger to search out the deeper mysteries of your kingdom. All my hope and faith is in you as I live out your law of love. Bring me the revelation, knowledge that only those who seek after you find. I want to dive into deeper waters, not simply stay in the shallow. Hear my heart and teach me what I have yet to understand. And our question for the day as we depart is this. Have you become comfortable in your faith, or is there hunger for more? And the last question, have you become discouraged in waiting on God's promise? That's our word for this morning. I thank you all for listening in. I thank you all for trusting God. I thank you all for just being who you are, awesome and wonderful, because God made you so. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Remember, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for the misleading. Fall for God and trust in his word. We all know that the counterfeits are out there. We got to make sure we're going to the real. Have a blessed day. If you are in Springfield, Illinois, come join us at the Table of Life Ministry at 2600 South 5th Street, where you will find love, where you will find peace, and where you will find the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap. Join me tomorrow as we continue in our Old and New Testament. We are in Revelation. Get your pen, get your pencil, get your paper. It's time to take some notes, because we are looking at our future. We are looking at the now. Just read sometimes. Study that word. Watch the news. Go out and look at other news from other nations, and you will find so many things are going on that we may not see, but we know God will reveal. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.